All right. Thanks so much, Bill and Kuvehi. This is The Conversation, and Howard Nussbaum has been coming to Hawaii for the past 20 years. He is president of the American Resort Development Association. 4 decades after timeshares first emerged on the scene in the visitor world of accommodations, it has morphed into a stable section of the tourist industry. Nussbaum shared his take on what timeshare does for the local economy, as well as its place in the face of competition from online booking platforms. New timeshare properties have emerged on scene across the state, and growth has been steady.
I feel like we have come of age at timeshare. It's like, I think everyone always knew that Hawaii was good for timeshare, but I think there's a realization today that timeshare is also good for Hawaii in terms of its economic impact, employment, evening out the peaks and valleys of the economy or geopolitical events that, you know, Hawaii tourism is so susceptible to. So I think there is a recognition that having a robust timeshare industry within the accommodation mix is really good for Hawaii.
And we have seen record numbers of tourists. How does that fit with the timeshare snapshot?
You know, hotels and timeshare are conjoined twins. One can't really be that successful without the other. That's why you see such great mixed-use products. You know, for a traveler who comes to Hawaii for the first time, they're going to stay in a hotel, maybe even the second time. They fall in love with Hawaii. They want to come back year after year. They're going to buy a timeshare or rent a condo. And who knows? There may come a time in their life when they're more affluent and have more time and are retired, they might want to buy a vacation home. So I think timeshare is a way to get more market share from that visitor that loves Hawaii.
And I know the Hotel Workers Union prefers to have just regular hotels.
I think there's a misnomer there. And by the way, I come from a family of union members, so I'm certainly not anti-union. But I remember in the early 90s speaking with travel agents who said we have to stop the internet because, you know, gosh, you know, it was a lot better when people called me up and I booked a plane ticket for them in a hotel room and I made 15%. Today, people do that themselves. That doesn't mean that there was anything wrong with those travel agents. And the ones that are successful today are ones who specialized in a destination and become experts on that and work with crews and others. So there is a new life for it. Timeshare resorts need housekeepers. They need people to check them in. They need people to park the car. Those jobs are available. And you're guaranteed. Our occupancy is so strong. And it is no matter what, whether there was a storm last week. I remember after Aniki, Kauai came back so quickly because of timeshare. You know, it does stabilize. So I think there are many advantages. I know I've spoken to housekeepers that chose to switch from the hotel side to the timeshare side at Hilton Hawaiian Village because they got more hours in a steady basis. So I think it's a misnomer that that's a loss of jobs.
But what about the aspect of foreclosures?
It's a lot easier. We have a very expedited non-judicial foreclosure process because the resort or the HOA that's governing it or the developer, depending on where it is in sales, has access to it. They have keys to the inventory. It's not like when a bank takes back a house and they've got to go find a realtor, they got to find a management company, they got to rent it, they got to clean it up. We already have the keys. We're already cleaning the unit every day. We already have a sales line. We already have a management. So, I mean, not that anyone wants default, but the ability to resell that interest and to cleanse the title is not an issue.
Okay. And so what's the snapshot? What's the picture that we've been able to glean with our data?
Oh, so nearly 32,000, to be exact, 31,727 jobs are in the state of Hawaii because of timeshare, with nearly 18,000 of those being directly employed at the resort. The rest are induced or indirect. $1.8 billion in labor income, an economic output of $5.3 billion. State and local taxes of $263 million. But I think the really big number, the one that excites me the most, is the local offsite consumer spending, $1.3 billion. That's 4,788 average per party of four. And that's off property. So when you're staying at your timeshare, it's already prepaid. You're not facing a $4,000 American Express bill at the end of the week. Okay, so you feel teenage rich. You got money in your pocket, and you're going to spend it diversely. You're going to spend it at the grocery store because a couple nights during the breakfast, you're going to cook in the unit. It's a lot easier. 21 meals in 7 days with small children. You don't want to go out for every meal, but you do want to go out for some meals. So the restaurant sees that impact. The art gallery, I want to take something home, show my friends. I bought it at my place in Hawaii. That's very cool. And then again, there's also just the diverse spending that we have of any consumer on attractions. And the prepaid nature of it and the returning nature of it makes that spending even deeper. And that's why I think so many communities are eager to have resort communities are eager to have timeshare in their mix.
And so what's the breakdown per island?
So basically, there are about 12,000 jobs that are here in Oahu, 12,700. 9,500 in Maui, 5,938 in Kauai, and 3,400 on the Big Island. You know, with the tragedy of the volcano this year, I think the Big Island is going to really value its timeshare owners because they are going to be coming back. They were still coming no matter what. That the prepaid nature of the product, I mean, I'm embarrassed to share this with you because I'm a little chubby. But if somebody gave me a coupon for a free lunch at the restaurant across the street from where I work, I'm guessing there's days that I wasn't hungry and I'd still go over and eat. And, you know, when you own your vacation, you're going to take it.
Are there certain areas, you know, based on where folks live, you know, that they buy into timeshares here in Hawaii? I mean, I know Japan is popular.
I think there's like 60,000 plus owners from Japan. I see Chinese travelers. I mean, some of it is location. Some of it is cultural. I mean, you know, Hawaii is, you know, the golden people. It's a mix of so many cultures. But you have the assets of beautiful islands in the middle of the Pacific, tropical breezes, iconic images. You know, there is somebody right now buying a timeshare in Myrtle Beach or Branson, Missouri or Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And one of the reasons they're buying it is because they want to go, you know, to Hawaii. They want to exchange to Hawaii. So there's Hawaii is a big driver. But you also have the infrastructure of a very sophisticated city. So there are many great island communities around the world, but they may not have the electric grid that you have. They may not have the sewer system that you have. They may not have the convenience. So this is, you know, it's a very first world place, but with a beauty that is rarely be able to be found in the first world.
With the storms that we've had and with the popularity of vacation rentals, you know, Airbnb, the online platforms, the concern has always been, well, if there are folks that are living out of the resort area in someone's home, will they know how to react in a storm? You know, what do you do? Where do you go? So what's the picture for timeshare owners?
Well, for timeshare owners, you know, we have a lot of safety and security. We have health department inspections. We have fire safety. We follow the same rules that hotels do for ADA and, you know, Americans with Disabilities Act. In addition, we have key control and cybersecurity of your credit card. You also were professionally managed. You're not going to open a drawer and find something you didn't want to find, nor are you going to find a lack of cleanliness, or most of all, somebody coming into the unit in the middle of the night goes, oh, yeah, I'm the roommate, as you were. I'm not against Airbnb or the new sharing economy. My gosh, how could I be? We were the original Zipcar. We were the original sharing economy over 40 years ago. I do know that it's natural for the marketplace to get ahead of the regulatory environment. So we were born in the mid-70s in this country. It wasn't until 1981 that we had our first legislation. But that has made us stronger. And it was because of those consumer protections that allowed companies like Marriott and Disney and Hilton and Wyndham and Four Seasons and Hyatt and Holiday Inn to come into the business and then bring the brand standards up further. And I wish that for Airbnb. You wouldn't play a game if you didn't keep rules. We have to have a regulatory base. We have to protect our consumers. And I am concerned about some of the affordable housing issues. You know, when it becomes more compelling for a real estate developer to build apartments and use them for nightly rentals, that means that affordable housing for the people of Hawaii goes up. And that's already an issue on this island. And then there's also the issue of heritage and community. I mean, I like knowing my neighbors are my neighbors and live and work here. And if vacation rentals are spotted throughout the community, it is impactful. I am not anti-vacation rentals. They just need to follow the same rules everybody else does.
And that was Howard Nussbaum, the president of the American Resort Development Association, who was in town for the Global Tourism Summit held at the Waikiki Convention Center this week.